friendly. These are critical features. New metadata, handling NVMe better. So these are things that are super important to us. But let's also talk about Linux 5.0. Whenever you get a big version increase, like remember Samba 4? Does anybody remember when Samba 4 came out? Jeremy, you remember Samba 4? So this is a big deal when the Linux kernel goes to a new version like 5. So what's the excuse? Everybody has to have an excuse. So Lena sent out an email, said, you know, we all need to invent our own reason for why, you know, so our opinion, I think, is either it runs Samba better in my case, I think the Linux kernel is so much better in 5 than anything we've seen before. It's super exciting. And by the way, as we go forward to 5.2, I think you're going to find some really cool features for Samba in the kernel. The support for case insensitivity, for example. So one of the things that I think is super important to talk about, when we look at file systems, we have lots of choices. We have NFS, we have SMB, and one of the things I wanted to talk about is why would you use this instead of NFS? Well, here's one example. When we're using NFS, we're running over an RPC layer, a transport that's relatively painful. When we're running over SMB, we don't have that. But I think the better way to look at this is that SMB over the years has accumulated this incredible toolbox of stuff. Has anybody measured how big Samba is? Thank you. Yeah, so we have a projector problem here. We could unplug and replug. So one of the other things I want to mention as we're dealing with the hardware issues here, and we could try that? You guys want to try while we talk? Okay, so the shift to cloud introduces something very interesting. So how many of you guys are used to using your local laptops here in the test event? The latencies are really slow, or fast, right? No problem. When you're talking to Azure, you could be talking to a server in Dublin. You could be, like I was, downloading from San Antonio. Latencies are a lot longer. How do we deal with that in Samba? How do we deal with that in the Linux client? It's kind of a fun challenge. Anyway, so I would argue, with all these changes we've had, that we're now going to claim that version 5.0 is the new reborn Linux client. And what I want to challenge you guys to do is to rethink what we need to do in Samba and what we need to do in Linux to make this the best ever, the most stable experience, you know, far better than NFS. Now, looking over the last year, we had 6,200 file system change sets. That's up, actually, in the Linux kernel. File system changes are almost over 6% of the changes in the Linux kernel. Now, the Linux kernel is bigger than Samba. It's 18 million lines of code. Samba's, you know, like 4. And there are a lot of Linux file systems. There's 50-plus file systems. But guess what the most active file system was last year? Quiz question time, so wake up. What was the most active file system in Linux last year? What do you think? It wasn't SIFS, unfortunately. It was close. I mean, it wasn't. Nope, that was like number 7 or 6. No, according to Git, just change sets. If you look at lines of code, you could... No, most active in terms of lines of code and ButterFS, yes. So number 2, anybody know? Ex officio. No, if you count the file system mapping layer, the stuff you're changing right now, right? The VFS layer, that would be in between the two. Just below that is SIFS. Thank you, you guys. SIFS. So EXT4 is like half as active or less. Now, if you look at lines of code, it's actually a little bit better, I think, in our regard. We have even more changes relatively. So that's kind of cool. So anyway, I find that neat. So to give you an example of exactly what I'm talking about here, there were more than 500 change sets to SIFS kernel. Now, it's more than 50 lines of code. That doesn't count all the SIFS utils changes. Another 10 and a half, a lot of SIFS utils changes. So, yay, is this going to work?
See, if you don't, you touch your screen, you don't.
Maybe I should stand on the floor so I don't like it. So maybe his hands are conductive. So we need like a Wi-Fi through your hands. Yeah, so it's a cable problem. That's good, dude. So by the way, BTRFS had 1,271 changes last year. XFS, a little over half that, or about half that, and SIFS was right below that. And I think you guys wouldn't guess the one below that, which was F2FS. But, you know, EXT4 has only had 260. Ceph, 180. OCFS2, 108. Now, here, are any of you guys Samba developers? One or two of you, I hope. How many change sets did the Linux NFS server have last year? Any guesses? 150. Now, Samba had more than 5,000, but you know that's not really fair because Andrew Bartlett did a lot of changes in AD, and you know, this isn't fair. But let's, for argument's sake, say that you're obsessed with source SMBD. All you care about is you know the source three directory, right? How many change sets do you think we're talking about for just the narrowest part of the Samba code last year? More than twice as many as NFS. Server. So if you did the narrowest, worst part, and by the way, Samba didn't have a very good year last year. It was much more active previous years. But even when our worst year, we had far more than NFS server. So guys, this stuff matters. We're doing a lot of work. This is super active. Samba is 3.5 million lines of code. So what is our goal here? Our goal is to make, you know, SMB 3.1.1 the best general purpose protocol, the fastest way to access the data in sort of your commodity way. You're trying to save your presentation so if the hardware is bad and stuff crashes, you have another copy of it in the cloud or whatever, right? Or saved on Samba servers, right? You want to implement all the reasonable Linux POSIX features because apps don't want to know they're running on NFS or SMB or anything. They want to just think they're running on a local file system. And I think more importantly, Linux changes. So VFS changes are going in like now as a result of some of Amir's work, right? We just had Dave Howells check in changes to the mount API. This stuff is changing all the time. So how do we evolve quickly? Now I have a question for you guys. Any of you guys remember NFS 4? Do you remember how long between NFS 3 and NFS 4? 10 years? Yeah, exactly. And NFS 4 and NFS 4 and NFS 4.1 and 4.2, we're talking like 7-8 years.
And how many more iterations until NFS 4.x will be the same as
SMB? Sure. It's going to be a long time. Look at the ACL model if you guys like being depressed. You think? Because what it shows at the moment is the other display with, you know, the notes. You could try it. The thing is that it's not, it's showing in, because it's showing that it's display. Well, the problem is you can't because moving it to the screen wouldn't be the right, you'd see what I mean here.
No, but just
yeah.
Hit escape and hit F5 again, please.
Hitting escape didn't do anything, actually.
It might need to click the exit thing then.
There is no exit thing anymore. And this is a different distro. We have some video problems here. So guys, take a look and see while I'm talking.
Steve, we're squandering our opportunity to take advantage of NFSV4. I agree.
Yep. So let's think about this for a minute. NFSV4, kind of painful. Now think about the work Tom did, Chris did, others have done over the years to document SMB3. I find that actually incredibly helpful because the stuff I'm doing, it actually is fairly, the documentation part, the testing part, it's actually pretty easy. Code sure is hard, but I find this really cool. So I have some things I want to show you, so I'm going to hold off on showing you some of the screenshots until we figure out this. Oh, good.
Well, let's see.
Okay, so let's get, maybe what I should do is just, by the way, these file system developers are awesome.
Where do you want to be?
Two more slides. Okay, so we need to evolve very quickly, but I want to talk about some cool progress we made this year. Now, for argument's sake, say that you had a presentation and you screwed it up. So you guys have never done this, I'm sure, but like, would you might want to look at a previous version of your presentation? Well, Samba supports snapshots with ButterFS, Windows supports snapshots, Azure supports snapshots. I find it super helpful to look at a previous version and find where I screwed up in the presentation or screwed up something and look at a previous version. So here's an example, right? Look at the two mounts. Okay, look at two mounts. Notice they have a snapshot. There's tools for this, by the way, but you see the snapshot timestamp there. Now, look at the ls command. Notice that I've mounted it twice. I've mounted a snapshot version and a non-snapshot version, mount one, mount two. And notice something interesting. You can see the newer files, the ones that are not in the snapshot. As expected, very easy. Mount one directory, the older version, or even older, multiple different versions that are older. They're mounted read-only. Here's what it looks like in the GUI. Okay, so here you know, you're in I think this is Ubuntu, but you're looking at, you can see the data. You can look at the older version. You can see the different files that are created before and after the snapshot, different mount points mounted in parallel. Very helpful for when you screw up a presentation, want to go see where you messed it up. Okay, so what else have we done? Performance. Turns out, in most cases to Samba, it's better to have larger I.O. We moved to 4 meg I.O. in the 420 kernel. And we, I think at the 5.1 kernel, I'll talk about it later, we've increased the default block size because a lot of Linux tools look at the inode block size, not the superblock block size, but the inode block size. And moving it to 1 meg, lying like NFS, does help performance of this because it now means that they're defaulting to larger I.O. 16K is really painful, guys. Like, I hate to tell you, but going over the cloud, you don't want to be sending 16K I.O. Okay, so let's talk about global namespace. For argument's sake, say that you want to have multiple copies of your presentation and multiple DFS replicas. Well, it worked, but there was no failover. We didn't deal with caching well, and if the IP addresses changed, we were messed up. Well, Paolo fixed that. So this is really cool to be able to, this is a Windows slide, by the way, an example of a Windows thing. We can do the same thing in Linux now. Right, so you can mount to, you might have multiple copies in London and New York. It's wonderful that we can refresh the cache, we can reconnect, handle failover, all of those improved thanks to him. Selfishly, you know, because I work for Azure, it's also really cool because if you change the IP address, you reconnect automatically. And so he also fixed that use case, right, where the IP address of the server changes. Now, let's talk about performance. We don't do as good a job as NFS in a couple places, but man, compounding helps because we can snack all these commands together and we can do a lot more. And I was just looking at an example today where we didn't compound something that we should. And I loved, if you guys are looking at Wireshark traces and you find other examples, I'd love to see examples. But let's talk about some common things. If I do a touch on a file, you know, 6 down to 4, that's, you know, 1/3 drop is pretty good. If I want to delete a file, you know, that's pretty impressive going from 5 round trips down to 2. Most of your delay is the round trips, not the server processing. A make dir is cut in half. Creating a file, hard links, sim links, querying adders, querying file information, all this. Now, this helps even more when you have better caching and things like this, but the compounding that Ronnie did, and I think one of the things that we were talking about is better compounding for read dir. And I think Tom in this presentation mentioned some reader performance optimizations of window. There's a lot of things we can do in these metadata heavy workloads to make Samba better, because that is an area where NFS is often faster than Samba, because we're not taking advantage of all the performance enhancements that are available in the protocol. But this, where we have, you know, 9 examples, right, or 10 actually, of places where we've added compounding, we've added a little bit each release, really help performance a lot. So what about other examples? The CP command in Linux takes advantage of FIE map, query allocated ranges, so it doesn't bother to copy ranges that are zero. Well, we didn't support that in the Linux client. Now here's an example. So this was actually done last night by Ronnie. So he creates a sparse file. I'll show you the script in a minute if you want to see. And then he runs a tool that calls FIE map to query the allocated ranges. Notice there's 3 allocated ranges for this file. Now, the reason this matters is if you're doing the CP command, it's not going to bother copying ranges of 0. But I wanted to show you the query allocated ranges. This was just added in the 5.1 release. So this is great. This means that not only is copy faster, especially to when Samba is running backends that support query allocated ranges, you know, Windows and other OS that support sparse files, this is fantastic because we now can support a whole bunch of operations that are helpful. Now on the wire, take a look at this. Here's the query allocated ranges. This is going to Windows, but you can see us doing the FSCTL call. And like I said, it has an impact on copy. If you see the kinds of things that are going on here, it's really neat. So we're setting the file sparse. We could do that before. Set zero data now works. We can even extend the file with set zero data. Query allocated ranges, we can also seek to whole and seek to data. Those are commonly used fallocate operations, especially in things like virtualization. I'm really excited about this. This stuff has been going in the 5.1 and 5.2 kernel, and as we improve our sparse file support, it really helps some workloads, the performance quite a bit. Now, tracing. A lot of times what you want to do is optimize your server, or optimize your workload, or figure out what your app's doing wrong. And one way to do that is stats, and we have very nice stats that we can dump out. You can also, in Samba, you can dump out stats as well, but sometimes it's useful to compare them. So we've made a lot of changes to the stats and to the debug data to display things like the session ID in a form that Samba could consume and that Azure could consume and other servers could consume, so you can compare logs of the Samba server or the Azure server or the Windows server with your client logs. Well, one of the things that's also helpful is selectively turning on trace. The XFS developers were wonderful help here last year. So about 13 months ago at the File System Summit, they were fantastic in Utah, giving us some examples, and we added a few trace points. Well, we've tripled since the last Samba XP the number of trace points. More than tripled, actually, quadrupled. So now we have over 70. And it's kind of neat because these trace points allow you to dynamically figure out what's going on without, you know, noisy logs. And I gave some examples at the last SNEA conference that, you know, just how trivial this is to use. You type trace-cmd-e in the name of a trace point or a wildcard that includes whatever. And then in another window, trace show, trace command show. It's super easy. But what's beautiful about this is, let's say you're tracing Samba, and you know that there's a problem, let's say, with a POSIX makedir because you're working on with some of Jeremy's code. Being able to turn on just selectively just that on the client, to compare your client and server logs, is invaluable. I'm finding it like the best feature of all over the last year. But there's other things that we've added. We've added sudo files. So for example, sometimes, you know, I don't know, have you ever had a badly behaved app? I don't know if you guys have ever dealt with this, but sometimes apps forget to close a file handle. Run into that, right? Servers start running out of resources when an app keeps opening a file handle in a loop and forgets to close. You can run LSOF, sure, that's great, wonderful, but it doesn't help you a lot when the server, you know, you need the file ID, right? So here's the persistent file ID, the name of the file, various things about what process owns it, what UID, et cetera. So being able to dump it out of as a pseudo file on the client can be helpful when you have handle leaks, which is, you know, a common complaint I hear about. Okay, so what about RDMA? So Longley done some great work. I think last year he demonstrated both at Samba XP and also at the SNEA conference some amazing performance data, and it's gotten better. But what I want to call out here is that what was holding us back from Markey and not experimental? Well, running our test infrastructure. As Tom mentioned, it's now possible in Azure to spin up RDMA, And when we figure out a little bit more of the test infrastructure, this will be a lot easier. So in every check-in to Linus, we're running the RDMA test. Right now, these are being run manually, and we have one test case to run to go through. There's one remaining. The rest have been fixed. This is pretty good. 100 and something tests down to one. Longley's made a lot of progress on this. Thank you. Any other, by the way, while you're here, any other ones you're worried about besides that? And what I want to emphasize is this is the best commodity way to transfer data fast. Obviously, you can do RDMA with other protocols, but it's pretty easy. Typing mount with just RDMA, it's pretty easy. This is not hard. Now, it can be hard in other cases, and if you listen to the NFS developers talk, it might be very hard for them. Okay, so what if you wanted to view things like the number of open files per share? Well, we've improved our stats as well as the debug data pseudo files. What if you are worried that your server has high latency every once in a while? We now have ways of, with stats 2 turned on, of finding the fastest request of that type, open, close, query, whatever, the slowest of that type. You can also configure counters for a particular threshold. We default to 1 second. But if you're worried about your server throttling for no reason that you understand, well, set the slow response threshold to something other than 1 second. This lets you figure out, you know, I think we had cases in the past where you'd see some cluster file system that might take a minute or 2 minutes every once in a while. Well, this lets you tell you exactly which command it was and how often. I use this in a copy example. I found roughly 1% of the writes were throttled or slow. Actually, it was 0.5%, but this was very helpful, these counters, in being able to configure that for looking at performance. So let's dive into a little bit of detail. So in 4.17, you know, think about a year ago, right, we added the signing support for SMB Direct, you know, Longley, et cetera. I think Aurelien added the SMB 3.1, remember that? The SMB 3.1.1 encryption, the pre-auth integrity, and we did some SMB dialect improvements for Reconnect. Fast forward to August, we had a lot of RDMA patches dropped in, and including better support for DirectIO. We added our prototype for the POSIX extensions that Jeremy and I had worked on, so we could do a minimal set. You know, you just send the open context, but we could, you know, it showed rename working, make dir, various other things, case sensitivity. There's some really cool things that actually worked. We added, you know, we want to kill, I don't know if you, did you see, anybody see Tom Talpe's last slide? Remember your last slide? Yeah, so, you know, following up the suggestions of these people saying, please kill it. You know, when you load SMB3, you can't, if you load the module as SMB3, you can't do SIFS from it. If you disable legacy dialects at prof, you can't do SIFS. So if you got ways, you can disable it. And then, of course, the must better ftrace. And caching the root file handle and reducing these redundant opens, I think, was a big deal. And what it cut about a third, 35% of the traffic at mount time, for example. Fast forward to 4.19, and let's kill SMB3. So we can disable insecure dialects in the kconfig so you can build it with SIFS turned off. We don't take out all the code, but we won't let you mount with it. So kill SMB1. So lots of bug fixes, some cool stuff. But what I really liked was the compounding was introduced. So we saw it for StatFS, the first test case. And also, I think what you're going to find that's really cool is the snapshot support that I showed you earlier was added in 4.19. Now, 4.20, we had some really good RDMA improvements. And that proc open files I showed you, the I/O size increased, which improves performance significantly from 1 meg to 4 meg, especially over slower networks. But we also added this thing called the query info ioctl, which is a pass through that allows you the tools like SMB info might be a good example to look at to query metadata from Samba. You could add private ioctls to Samba for debugging. You know, let's say for argument's sake that you wanted to add an ioctl for testing to Samba to reboot the server or to trigger an error, right? You could add testing ioctls that a little user space tool called and Samba on the server, an experimental version of Samba. You could add an ioctl to Samba to dump the credits out, right? These are the kinds of things that you could do trivially without changing any kernel code now because you have this pass-through. Okay, so fast forward to 5.0 back in March. Now SMB 3.1.1 is in the default list of dialects. And so every time we mount, we're going to request it by default. We added this DFS code we talked about from Paolo, and the support for reconnect if the server IP address changes. There's some compounding was much extended, the get adder, set adder, various other things. And a lot of important bug fixes. I mean, this 5.0 and 5.1 is where you really see the stability of SIFS go way up. And I'll explain why in a minute, but it's so cool. 24 fixes for stable. We found 24 important fixes. Typical, you might find 5. We found 24. So we're finding some really important. So what was the reason? The build bot. So some of the guys like Aurelian, Ronnie, and Paolo did some really good work there. And that's, I mean, think about that. Here we had in 5.1, 23 fixes for stable. We found some seriously important bugs. And part of that is the new test infrastructure. We also improved this FSCTL pass-through, so now we can support query info and FSCTLs over the wire from a user space tool without having to write kernel code. This allows utilities to do even more, and we added a new... So let's say, for argument's sake, you had apps that needed different reconnect behavior or guarantees, and the defaults for the resilient files or persistent files wasn't good enough. This can now be configured at mount time, the handle timeout that you use for resilient or persistent handles. We added fallocate zero range support to allow extending a file, not just to run on a file that you're not changing the size of. We cached all info for the shared root handle. We need to add that to other handles. This is one area, by the way, NFS does much better than us. It caches after close for a period of time, and we need to be caching much longer and take advantage of direct releases much more than we do today. We mostly take advantage of it for regular files that are opened, and we don't delay the close of those, and we also don't, we only cache the info for the root file handle. And one of the things that's important about this is some of the stupid test cases. We have lots of performance cases that you see out there that are just idiots, right? What they do is they create a temp file, and then they start the test case. So the test case is a no-op because the temp file was cached. So they create the temp file, close it, stays cached. So on NFS, you have test cases that are a no-op, where in SMB, they're actually doing work. So one of the things we do have to do is improve some of our like cache beyond close and some things like this. But what we have here is we're caching much better the root file handle, and it's a start. We do obviously cache things that stay open. But we do have to defer close, and we do have to do a much better job of direct release caching for broader set. Also, Aurelian noticed, and I noticed, some problems with the way we handle special file, the query info call and other things, a very complex code. As we support POSIX extensions, as we support various ways to query this this information, we have to clean up all that code, and that started in 5.1. It's very important for future work. Now, let's go take a look at current. As of, remember, RC3 came out Sunday. Big change in that was the C colon seek data. It enabled a whole bunch of test cases, but it also helped the CP command. We support fallocate zero range, and we now support pass-throughs where we're sending data to the server, right? And RDMA support was improved, so it's no longer... For C colon seek data? Okay, so this is F allocate options. So C colon seek data are, you know, they've been in the Linux VFS. Samba actually doesn't do a very good job of this yet. Windows does a better job of this right now. But what it allows you to do is, as you're copying a file, you copy a chunk of data, and then you, if it's a sparse file, CP knows to ask to go to the next region that's allocated. So seek data lets you skip without even bothering big chunks of the file.
Yeah, but how do you query the server
for file map? Query allocated ranges. It's in the protocol. So it's not in NFS. And this is one of the, it's funny, Ronnie sent me this note yesterday. It's like, well, hey, this is great because NFS doesn't have it. Well, yeah. But this is great stuff, and Windows supports it nicely, and it enabled a whole bunch of test cases, and it helps some commands that are common. So obviously we have slight differences in semantics, and so we do have some places where we can't implement exactly what fallocate does because the protocol is slightly different. But you'd be surprised. If you look at the man page for fallocate, it's pretty complicated. You know, POSIX is not Linux, right? Linux is not POSIX. Linux has a lot of special stuff. But we support most of FFallocate's options already. And some of that's due to Ronnie's changes in the last 5.2 and 5.1.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
One note on that last item. The other thing that's going upstream in 5.2, or certainly 5.3, is soft iWork.
Yeah.
And that will be really useful to...
Yeah, so we've had a lot of discussions about things like soft iWork. One of the things that's fascinating is sitting in on that RDMA discussion at Plumbers, was it? You were there, I think, right?
The Plumbers. It's the OFA workshop.
Okay, okay.
The one in Texas?
Yeah.
In Vancouver?
Well, both, actually. Both had this. Yeah, so both had the discussion. So in Texas and a few months earlier in Vancouver, there were discussions among RDMA developers about using things like soft iWork for automated testing and whether it's stable enough to use. You know, could we create an environment where we spun up VMs that didn't have real hardware, that things like soft iWork and test Samba RDMA and Linux kernel RDMA? And you know, to some extent, we're getting pretty close, right?
The answer is it's extremely stable.
One that's already in, I think, 5.2. So we dump out in the debug information whatever compression algorithm we negotiate, but we don't actually ask for it yet. And the net name negotiate will be sending in, I think, 5.3. So that'll be easier for you Samba guys that maybe want to use the knowing the net name at session setup or protocol time. And then we'll talk about the POSIX extensions tomorrow. And I think you're going to see some nice performance improvements, too. One of the things we've been looking at is the serialization on write, whether we can get more parallelization of write, because you know we're 15 or 20% slower than Windows, for example, is when you copy a file. Linux is slower, partly. Some of it's Linux itself, right? Linux is a chattier VFS than Windows. But you know, a copy of even a very, very large file, we're 15 to 20% slower. And some of that is due to the way we grab locks and things. The second thing is multi-channel. We made a start on multi-channel. Aurelian demoed it last year. So we've checked in about 5% of that, maybe. We need to make a little bit more progress on the multi-channel because that'll help the read performance a lot. So what's the most important thing, though, is testing, automated testing, and I'm super excited about that, the build bot. Thank you for the guys working on the build bot, Aurelian, Ronnie, Paolo. We have five test targets. One of them is the POSIX tree, your POSIX tree there. Inside our main SIFS testing bucket, we'd like to have more server targets, but we do Windows, various Samba targets, and Azure. And then we have specific targets for Azure and Windows as well that you can run. And we could add more if that's useful. And of course, you could also do the reverse here, right? Instead of checking in on every client change, you could do this on Samba, where you could run a fixed version of the client against a Samba server if you wanted to. The infrastructure that Ronnie and Aurelian, et cetera, is amenable to that. But this is like the best release ever. And this was something Pavel suggested I mentioned. Like literally, the quality is so much better. And thank you for the testing, because that has been unbelievable. And it keeps getting better. We're adding 5 or 10 XFS tests a release. It's been great. And it's caught literally 2 or 3 regressions a release, which, I mean, just staggering how useful it is. Usually these would catch like RC5, right? No, it catches it before we check it in. And I'm really excited about this progress. But I also want to encourage you guys, you know, please submit patches. Some of you guys have done some amazing work, but also you guys see things we don't, like the compounding examples. You see workloads where we could do better. And obviously, we're getting contributions from 20 to 30 developers at least, so it's been a very, very good year. So I want to thank you guys for your contributions and let the next speaker have some fun with us as well. But we have a reminder, we have a talk tomorrow on the POSIX extensions so we can optimize that Linux to Samba experience. Okay? Go ahead. So in our XFS test buckets, the main SIFS testing one alternates between them with different mount options, so signing, not signing, encryption, not encryption, no caching, caching. The targets we use are Windows 2016, R2, and I think Samba 4.10, and Azure. We also have a separate target for Samba Master with his JRA branch. We want to add more targets, so you know, there was an easy way to add a NetApp target or other server targets, that'd be fine, right? Because there's no harm in testing other servers. But those are the three right now, the current stable Samba, Windows 2016 server, and We also have it running different backend file systems. So we have some running with the VFS ButterFS and some running the standard XFS or EXT4 under it. So we do see multiple flavors of Samba as well because they're...
If I want to have a six branch tested, what would be the best way? Can you batch it right in
Yeah, that's actually an interesting question. So right now we have a default Git. So when these guys have check-in authority to GitHub if they wanted, right? And they could check in, but we only pull from one branch when we trigger a test build. One of the things we need to add a to-do on our list is to allow you to point to a different branch when you kick off. So I'm going to just show you, like, if you look here, the pull Git repo step, when you click on, you know, SIF testing and build, it asks you for a branch name, but it ignores it and pulls from the same branch, right? We could have a separate branch for you, right, and let you just go in here and click build, and it would kick off whichever of the five test buckets you wanted. What we don't have right now, it's fairly easy to fix, would be the thing that allows you to pull the branch, the specific branch, because we I don't care if people change the GitHub tree, right? But we're pulling from one branch in the GitHub tree right now, which typically mirrors for next, Linux next. Okay, other questions before we... Okay, leave the... Yeah, maybe we should never move this laptop, yes. Okay, so thank you guys again, and let's make this the year of SMB3.
Thank you very much, yeah. Steve French. A little gift for you.
Thank you.